Hey world, it's the real Rob Taylor here at Pomona Rocks. Founded in 2019 by Amelia Kinder and Lauren Crompton, Bad Heritage are a heavy rock quartet set to hit their stride in the coming months with a string of new releases on the way. The band's next single, Save Your Control, is out on October the 21st. Last Saturday night, I caught up with Amelia, Lauren and Johnny from Bad Heritage just ahead of their gig at the Pier Hat in Manchester's Northern Quarter, and I began by asking them,
how was your sound check?
It's good, we haven't done it yet.
So okay.
Preemptively, it's going to be great.
It always goes great.
Yeah,
we're quite quick to set up because we're not fussy.
No.
If we can all hear each other and it sounds good over there, that's fine.
Yeah. Can people hear it out of a speaker? Yes, right, okay, move on.
That'll do. That's probably the most rock and roll thing I've ever heard since I started interviewing.
You will shortly learn we're the most un-rock and roll band you'll ever meet.
Well, you could say that, but I don't think so. I disagree. From what I know about you guys, I think you're probably the most, certainly up there on the rock and roll scale. Definitely. I think as far as I'm kind of gauging it mentally, I'm thinking 8 out of 10 so far, and after this, it's probably going to go higher.
Oh my goodness me. Well, I'm flattered, I have to say.
Well, anyway, so... Your the Bad Heritage is how old? When did the band start?
Oh, we are.
It was like November 2019.
Yeah, so it's been a while.
Yeah, obviously 2020, nobody could do anything. So really, I would only say properly a year of actually doing things.
With the current lineup, which has been the best setup we've had, is a year. I think. Yeah.
Okay, and what's your kind of motivation for setting something up? Because I gather it was you, Amelia, and Lauren who set up the band.
So I found Lauren on joinmyband.com, which I'm sure you're familiar with, and she immediately stood out to me because she likes the band Rival Sons, and I'm a massive Rival Sons fan, and nobody knows this band, so I was like, no way, she likes Rival Sons. So got in contact, we started jamming out, didn't we? Went through a couple of people, and now we've got Johnny and Tom, and it's going great.
Yeah, it's just kind of like a build-up of enjoyment. Like, obviously it started with that initial, we love Rival Sons, but then we loved the way each other writes, so now we kind of just write so everybody has fun kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's worked out really well. Yeah.
That's coincidentally, I started this podcast in November 2019 as well, so it seems there's something in the water there. Yeah. Something in the air, certainly. Let's go back a little bit further than that, though, because you were both on Join My Band, and what were you doing there? I mean, you both wanted to start a band, obviously. So, what was your kind of motivation? What is it about the music you play now, and you're going to play this evening, your motivation for getting on Join My Band?
My personal like story was like I went to a Rival Sons gig. I used to be in bands like when I was like 18, and then I stopped playing for years and years. Like I'm 26 now, so I only really started playing again when I was like 24. I went to this Rival Sons gig, and the support band, I met them afterwards. They were called The Last International, and the way they spoke about the troubles they'd had with like record labels and stuff, and how they kind of just kept going, I was like, damn, like I should probably just get back in a band. So I just went on Join My Band and found Amelia, and I was like, this is great. Like, it was just a happen chance thing, like somebody enthused me in the idea of a band again kind of thing.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Learn something new every day. Yeah. So I've always been bands, just like Lauren. I started off when I was really young, when I was like 16, maybe 15, just in my dad's band, doing a bit of singing. And then I was in a band called Crack Vinyl, which lasted for about 2 years.
Not all over YouTube.
Please don't look at that. Then we bounced about for a bit. I got to university and I was like, oh, I feel really sad, I need to be in a band again. And then I jumped on Join My Band. It's like an itch I need to scratch. I need to be like doing something in music, otherwise I feel sad.
That's awesome. That's, it shows that there's a real sort of passion behind the music. And I, th- think I can hear that passion. I think that generally, and this is one that I've been spotting up on you guys before I came down here today, and one of the things that I think I can hear, when I hear a lot of bands, and you can hear the kind of drive that they have, or lack of, you know. And I think there's one thing in common with a lot of the new wave of classic rock bands, which, forgive me if I'm wrong, but that's the category I definitely think you fall into. Excellent. There seems to be a sort of drive to recreate the really old bass heavy grinding, you know, heavy metal and heavy rock, really, you know. And I think it's something that's been missing for a long time, and clearly something's come together to spark this revival.
Yeah, I think that you just hear such a lack of a combination, which is good riff plus big vocals equals cracking tune. Like, you hear such little of that in mainstream music that I wanted that back. And how do you make it happen? Well, you make it happen yourself. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's true. I think as well, there's such a hidden undercurrent of rock and roll at the minute. For example, the last international, Rival Sons, they are pretty underground. They should be bigger. But then you have got staple bands like Greta Van Fleet, which they are kind of like pioneers for younger people getting into this kind of thing. So I kind of think it's a boiling pot at the minute, and it's ready to kind of just go boil over, and it's going to be an explosion again. I hope so anyway, because I love rock. More of it the better.
And I agree. I think there is a sort of underground scene that's ready to kind of boil over a little bit into the mainstream, perhaps, or at least sort of into a more popular scene, now that we're in a world of more niche music generally, and the mainstream's got a lot smaller, and there's a lot more smaller niches that have sort of moved in there. Where do you see yourselves in all of that? Where do you want the band to go? What do you want to do with it? Where are you going next?
Okay, so for us, we started this band as we want to write music, we want to perform live, and we just want to have fun. We don't take ourselves very seriously at all, but we take the writing very seriously, and I think that is a very good combination to have. So going forward, we just want to keep enjoying ourselves, we want to keep enjoying writing, being as a four piece, because we've got such a good group of people together now that I don't want to let go, you know. I want to hold them all so close.
Yeah, it's
don't leave me. And going forward, it's just keeping that momentum, and it's keeping that passion, and that's what we're about. And we're not really bothered if a big record label finds us and have a little money, okay, fine, that's great. But as long as we're turning up on a Saturday night to play live and we love it and everyone else loves it, that's our goal, that is our aim.
We've literally always said, this is fun, we don't really care if it flops or if it's a great thing. If it's a great thing, that's great. But yeah, we're all just having fun, so if we just play the pier hat forever, so be it. Let's have it. I love these small venues as well. They're so fun to play, because the stages are really close to the crowds and stuff like that.
Is that a request for a residency?
Hey, that'd be cool.
I've got multiple tents. Sleeping bags? Anyone?
We can
make.
Yeah.
All right.
you have had a sort of pretty impressive run so far. You've played the Academy so far, and the Academy, for those who don't know, is pretty big. What's the capacity of the Academy about?
2,000 people.
2,000 humans in
1,000. What the? Oh. Sorry, I just sicked a bit. It's fine.
That was our third ever gig. So it wasn't like we've been playing for a couple of years, we're doing the Academy. It was like, it was the most, for me, it was like the most amazing experience I've ever had. It was just unbelievable. Third gig.
It certainly made for a good photo for Instagram. That's where I spotted that.
You should milk in that photo, like, yeah, look how good we are.
Excellent. Let's talk about songwriting then. So, Amelia, you write most of the songs, if not all of them.
Me and Lauren, we do it in a kind of weird sort of situation. So either Lauren will come to me with a riff, and I'll be like, yes, nice. And then I will write something to go with that. Or I'll come to Lauren with a melody and lyrics, and then she will write on that. So it's always sort of us two start it off, and then we bring it to the boys, and then we build on it from there.
Yeah, the guys are so good at, like, me and Amelia will lay out a really basic song structure. When we take it to practice, the guys are really good at helping make it more interesting. Because it's when you write something very quickly, obviously it can sound a bit generic. And then, like, Tom's always saying, like, putting breaks here, let's do half time here. Johnny's like, let's have a bass break here. It just works really well. They always bring the right things to the recipe. Yeah. Right, yeah. It's really good.
So, just to be clear, Lauren, you're the guitarist.
Yes.
Amelia, your vocals.
Aye.
And the boys are drums and bass.
Yes.
There we go. So everybody knows. So we're in Manchester now. We're at the Pier Hat, which is a kind of hub of indie bands, and you know it's very fashionably down the sides. It's very difficult to find. Very, very cool bar. And you've already done the Academy as well. And so, do you? You've said that you're happy to sort of play small gigs because you love it. Do you want to fill a stadium one day?
The day that happens, oh my god.
The main thing for me is, when do I get to buy another pair of sparkly pants?
And your sister can make us jumpsuits.
And yeah, or my sister can make a sparkly jumpsuit and dance around on a big stage looking like an idiot but loving it.
Yeah.
Honestly, a stadium would be just astronomical. It's always been my dream as a little girl going to see bands when I was 16 at the Academy, saying, god, I'd love to play here soon. Like, I'd love to just play here eventually. And now that's happened. Like, we broke the glass ceiling, right? Where can we go from here? What's coming next? I don't mind if it's a small bar. I don't mind if we play there again. It could be... that was like... Yeah, that was insane. And we did it. And it went well.
Yeah.
So for me now, that's like, what can we do in a bigger venue? What can we do with more people? It'd be insane.
And if we can do that 3 gigs in, I think, like, because it's like a nerve breaker. It's like doing such a big gig like that as your third gig. It's like, oh my god, like, it's like proper imposter syndrome, like, why am I here? This is my third gig. But I think if we can, like, handle that, I would like to think that we could handle something bigger in the future, whereas we've got some more, like, again, strikes down of what we've done, kind of thing.
Yeah, 100%.
It's very exciting. So what have you got lined up in the near future then? In the next sort of 12 months, is there an album on the way? Is there, do you have a tour in the works? Anything like that?
So, tour, not so much. We've got a new single coming out soon. It's called Save Your Control. We've got a video coming out with it. Album-wise, I'm not sold on the idea of an album personally.
Just yet.
I think right now we need to be putting out regular content in little doses to allow people to have that. Oh, Bad Heritage are released again. Oh, let's have a listen. You know, just to keep the interest. And I feel like releasing an album at this stage would be maybe not such a good idea. Just put a lot of all material out, you know, in one go, and then we've got to work hard again to get some more material back. So I think short, sweet, little releases, keep doing gigs and see what happens. That's the plan.
Yeah, I think, like, we very, very briefly touched on a tour idea, but we're also busy. We have, like, very different jobs from each other. Like, I mean, when you would usually tour, Amelia would be teaching. So we'd have to like tour in the summer, and also like tours are expensive, recording's expensive. So I think it's kind of just micro dosing stuff, trying to get out of Manchester to like more northern cities. So yeah, any northern promoters, you know, get us out. But yeah, just kind of trying to break out from Manchester is the main thing. Hopefully get down to London as well, that'd be good. Yeah.
Cool. So what's with the name? What does Bad Heritage refer to in particular? Because I in my head I keep thinking bad history, and I go no, it's not bad history, bad heritage. And that's a different sort of a different concept. So explain the name.
Right, so as Lauren mentioned, I'm a teacher, I teach geography, and geography is all about not just where countries are in the world, but it's about how they came to be, you know, why are certain people gathered in certain areas. And I feel like a lot of the time white British people don't address our bad heritage. You know, there's lots of things in the past that our ancestors have done which are horrific. And we aren't a political band in any way, shape or form, but the name kind of comes from a whole kind of mashup of white privilege, a bit of what our ancestors have done with the climate and with the world, and all the bad things that have happened in the past, and then, but we're here now, so let's do something good. That's kind of what the name
kind of ties in with the music, because it's like,
yeah,
we've got the bad heritage, but like I like to think that our tunes kind of make you like pull that nasty riff bass, and they kind of like get you moving. Like, I've got a mate who's not totally into this style of music, but he says he really enjoys our shows because the music makes you feel good. So that's always been our intention, it's just music that makes you feel good, like when you listen to it. So yeah.
Certainly does. That's one of the things that one of the reasons I came down to see you and interview you today, because you know I was introduced to you by Gary from SanPR, and yeah, I was kind of like, okay, I've got to meet these guys. And it just so happened that when I interviewed you, messaged you yesterday, Lauren came back and said,
yeah, we had a gig like the following day. It was fate.
Fate indeed. Amelia, Lauren and Johnny from Bad Heritage, have a wonderful gig this evening. Thank you for inviting me down, and good luck.
Thank you very much. Nice talking to you.
And you can hear Saviour Control in the Heavy Edition, episode 101 on Pomona Rocks. My thanks once again to Amelia, Lauren and Johnny of Bad Heritage for taking the time to talk to me, and thank you for listening.
The Real Rob Taylor on Pomona Rocks. This has been a Reads More production for Pomona Rocks. Everything you hear on Pomona Rocks is protected by copyright. All tracks played are included with the express permission of the copyright holders. All rights reserved.